You know what? At 65, that is the prime age when dementia starts. I went, oh my God, are you serious? I'm 60. You mean to tell me at 65, this is what I can expect? So I immediately went to prevention, okay? Because I'm not even about that.
Finally, a psychotherapist that focuses on helping people strive for self-awareness and thrive for self-satisfaction with their place in the world. It's a show for real people with real lives, with all the drama, trauma, and chaos that life can throw at you. Here she is, Dr. Bev.
Dr. Bev is what? She is going to exercise. I'm going to give you some tips later, but I'm going to give you some right now. Exercise. I will continue at social media and being on this computer. Why? Because it saves that dementia for some other time. You don't even have to get it, okay? Keep your mind busy. Exercise. Most of all, people, breathe. Breathe. And my biggest one of all is, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. Get you some mental health, emotional health counseling. You can call it coaching. You know, I tell every potential client of mine, thank you for having the courage to call me. Thank you for having the courage to connect. Why? Because the more you get that mental health together, you know, that stuff you got planted back there in Storyville from the past that you keep bringing to the present. And look, sweetie, stop. Stop. Because it's going to make that 65 look real, real ugly. And Dr. Bev is not having it for herself, okay? She already told you she has a therapist. And look, I'm going to keep her. Now that I've really read about dementia, I'm going to keep my mental health together. I got to bring on an expert. Got to bring on an expert that's in the field. She knows what she's doing. She needs to chill Dr. Bev out because Dr. Bev is not having what? Look, 5 more years and you're talking about dementia? You out your mind. Okay? Kate McCarty, my expert in this, help me help Dr. Bev out. I'm freaking out here. I ain't freaking out that bad. I'm like, what? I got
exactly. You're processing. That's a wonderful thing. Well, you return memories good because you're processing what you've read. So that's a really good sign. Now, I could be the devil's advocate, though, and tell you that the research shows that you at least it's in the making at least a decade before it shows up, maybe 20 years even. So that's the devil advocate part. Yeah. So,
okay, well,
let's
be devil's advocate.
We need to look back at what you were doing, not what you're doing now, but what you were doing.
Okay. Well, then that's real good because I started all of this real, real early. I, as good. A little girl, was told by my Nana that when you reach the age of 50, I couldn't wait to reach 50. She says you're either senile or eccentric.
People who had a second language that were, as a child, bilingual, they have much more protection against the chance of Alzheimer's than those of us who didn't.
Oh my goodness, so. Thank goodness for Spanish in third grade. Okay.
Exactly.
I'm starting to like Catholic school. You're working with me. Go ahead and be the devil's advocate, girl. What else?
Novel activities in midlife. So this is from the Swedish twin study. The beautiful thing about Sweden is the minute you're born, they start taking stats on you, which, you know, we could have a whole political conversation on that. But what's important is we have genetic comparison study from that registry. So the Swedish twin studies were showing that the twin that was more likely to try new things. So even though the other may be doing the Wall Street Journal crossword puzzle every day for his life, that's not as important as the one that's thought, well, let me try Sudoku and let me try this and let me learn the language at 50 and let me learn this. And so novel activity is actually, we have found to be protective.
Holla, I'm saved. Thank y'all. Yeah.
So that eccentricity, that's probably a really good thing.
Oh my gosh, thank you. You know what? I'm going to breathe now.
Yes,
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that heart health is brain health. So if you've tried to have a heart healthy diet, you've had a brain healthy diet. So how much of that is a part of the picture, which of course goes back to what you had said earlier of exercise. That's very important.
Oh man. Okay. So I'm ahead of the curve. Thank you. I'm thankful for that breath right there, because yes, I am that kid. You know, I like the Wall Street Journal, and I like all that, you know, I'm a geek, so I like all that stuff. But on the other hand, you know, I'm a risk taker. I'm like, oh, let's take some Taekwondo. I've never done that before. Oh, let's go to this over here because I've never eaten this kind of food before. I'm the one for, you know, self-care. It's the adventure of life.
Right.
It's the adventure of life.
Yes.
And now I'm hearing that, you know, my being the eccentric one, the one that they call a little cray-cray, you know, most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's a little different. I'm so thankful for that right now.
Exactly.
Conversation. Folks, are you listening to this? Okay.
Exactly. Get out there. Do something different. Change it up.
Change it up. Now, that's the preventive side of this. But I also want to talk about, you know, one of the things that I saw in one of the studies here. I went to Wikipedia, okay? Love me some Wikipedia, okay? Because it gives me that devil advocates kind of side of it, like both sides of the picture here. So this is Wikipedia, and it's saying that not only do you not have to get dementia, because of the things that you just said, it also says that loving yourself, caring about yourself, having people around you who care about you and support you is really, really important.
Yes. And of course, first, as an academic, I have to warn you on Wikipedia, but nonetheless, the academics align with this particular point. U.S. has drilled that into me.
Thank you, Miss PhD. I told you guys I was an expert, and she wasn't going to let me get away with a thing. I love it.
I might have an old professor that'll listen. You know, I got to be sure that they know I at least gave the party line. But social support is, but we really see how important it is as with when we have dementia, not only for the caregiver, but for the individual with dementia. I had a critical two calls. This week was our second memory cafe. I have two sponsors, Arden Courts and Assisting Hands of St. Pete. We've put together a memory cafe once a month. And we've gotten the PR out there, really good coverage. So out of the blue, I get these two women who've called me, separate, don't know each other, living alone, have no family, and missed the memory cafe because A, they got lost finding it, and one, and the other one doesn't drive anymore but missed the date. And they have no friends. They have no one.
See, that's sure down right there. Oh, man, have you really got it here? You know, love that study, okay, because how many, and particularly in America, you know, I love America, but there are some things I don't like that Americans do. And that is, we leave our elderly, and I don't know what elderly is because I don't know when I'll get there. So I'm just going to put that out right there. Dr. Bev is not going to elderly column, okay? She's staying right here in Presentville and just loving it and calling it Presentville. But nonetheless, so many of our senior citizens are left alone by their family. A family has moved to, you know, some other city or whatever that, you know, they can't come that often or they don't come that often. And oftentimes they're left there with a caregiver, which hopefully they get to keep the same caregiver throughout, but most often not. And so they have different people coming into their lives. Plus, they sit all day. This is the idea of what one caregiver told me, and if I could turn red, I would have turned red, okay? She says, all I do is make sure, you know, she's in the bed or either in the chair and watching TV, and that's, you know, bring her something to eat, and that's it. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
what? You mean you like you don't talk to her, you don't read to her, you guys don't play games, you know what you just know? That's all she does all day. So it was no wonder to me that why she got another client, because that client eventually went brain dead.
Oh yeah, and
she was
all the research shows that. Yes, I mean it's like engagement, keeping a healthy sense of social support, and keeping your brain engaged is vital to maintaining a plateau. So yes, you will decline with Alzheimer's inevitably, but you can maintain a plateau with good therapeutic dementia specific activity. But these two ladies, they don't even have a caregiver. They just know they have a diagnosis and they live alone. And it's like, are the people that wander out in snowstorms in Boston. You know, we don't have that here, but we do have people that wander out and get lost in swamps, you know.
Oh no, we often have, you know, they have that sign on the expressway. I forget what it's called right now.
Yes, Silver Alert.
Yeah, Silver Alert, there it is. And, you know, we're the elderly who many, you know, are not driving. As you said, one of the people who called you does not drive.
Right.
And then, you know, the other one got lost. You know, people, I just want to tell you something. When you know it's your time not to get behind the wheel, please don't. I might be in the next lane. IJS.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Right.
And then there's another case where I heard where this woman, somehow the caregiver was given by the court, and tell me if this is actually true or not. I was given by the court some kind of way she took over her affairs. Guardianship. She took over as a guardianship, and even though this woman had plenty of money, big time money, where she could stay in her house, have somebody else stay in her house as a caregiver 24 hours a day, have engagement, do this, do that, go out, have activities. She had the money to do it. Guess what her caregiver did? That guardianship
facility.
What WTF helped me out?
Hey. I'm clueless. I was just appalled.
Shut the front door.
Right. And actually, I spoke to a lawyer recently, and he said, Kate, the judges don't have a clue. He said, the system doesn't have a clue. You know, something like a guardian, we train them in how to manage money. That's a good thing. But we don't train them on, once again, right back to the psychosocial spot, right? Right back to therapeutic. So basically, we're training people how to have quantity of life without quality.
Oh.
Our legal system is about quantity, not quality. Now, of course, that's a whole other argument. But
I'm going for the quality side, and I'm stuck right here. That, you know, well, as a psychotherapist, maybe I need to be reaching out to some judges and teaching and giving some CEUs or something on this topic of quality of life. I've said that just for most of my life, what's most important to me is my quality of life. I like a nice quality of life. If a judge doesn't get that, you know, because I could write it down.
Yeah, doesn't mean they're going to honor it.
You know what? They one of them has a mother. One of them has a father that has reached that age.
True.
And I bet you, I don't bet, so let me take that back. I would dare to guess that their mother and father got a quality of care. What do you think?
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at Ronald Reagan. I'm pretty sure it was top of the line.
There you go.
And I asked my lawyer friend, I said, now, if I put this in writing in my advance directive or my advance directive or my living will it be honored? He said, I don't think we can guarantee that, Kate. And that's a problem.
Oh, that's
particularly
a
if
oh,
I'm not up. Going to be a financial drain.
Right? Hold up.
Yeah.
That's a real big problem.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me, now I have a living will. okay?
Yes.
I have a living will. Are you telling me that when I finally go over to the other side of the adventure, which I plan on having a lot of fun there, whatever that is, okay?
Right.
It's going to be a great adventure because it'll be something new. Woohoo! So.
Right.
I don't want to hear. What do you mean?
They'll follow what is the court order to follow. So my example would be, yes, you have signed the whole thing about how long you want to be on life-supporting equipment. If you have a vegetative state for 6 months or we don't think you're ever going to come back, those things will be followed because our court system is very geared to that. But the fact that you may have said, I want to stay in my own home, first of all, if it's a guardian, who's going to question that? I mean, it's not like the individual's already been deemed incompetent. So she's not going to be able to take it to court and say, look, she's not following my living will. Guardians are appointed because there's no family around or the family they don't want to be in control. So it's the psychosocial qualities of stuff that's going to be overlooked or ignored. And then, you know, and so if you look at the end thing, like I have in my will, what I want for my funeral, well, you know, Dr. Bev, I'm not going to be there. So it's okay. You know, I'm going to be listening to my own tune somewhere with the angels. But you know, if my kids decide they don't want to listen to Celtic music and, like, I don't know, have it at the beach, I may have to let go of that. But at the same time, I have told my kids, and it's in writing, if you dare to not feed me when I call for ice cream, I will haunt you. But you see, that's where it's the psychosocial piece that gets left. That was my master's thesis for my master's in thanatology, was a psychosocial advanced directive. Now, that was really hard to publish. It's out there. It's called A Blueprint for Comfort.
Okay, I love that.
People need to know, you know. If you feed me pistachio pudding, I'm probably going to spit it back out. But if you go for the chocolate, we're good.
Okay, see, it means that, you know what, I've been through hospice and that kind of thing. And one of the things, worked, given service, and one of the things that I noticed that they do is the level of care and comfort that they give, even though, you know, in the moment it might not make sense to them, you know, if client wants chocolate ice cream, okay, let's get her some chocolate ice cream, you know?
Right.
What's going to hurt at this point? Okay.
This came up because my ex-mother-in-law had been, I think it was a stomach cancer. And of course I was distant because I was therefore no longer an outlaw. Mm-hmm. But my daughter told me, she said, well, grandma asked for food after she'd been without food for a week and they refused it because it would just make her sick. The hospice said, no, she can't have it because it would just make her sick. And she said, all the siblings lined up behind that decision. And I said, well, that is just so wrong, because if you're almost dying, why does it matter if you're going to be sick? If that's what you want, you should have it. And so that's how I went back and added that to my living will and told her, don't you ever think of doing that to me. I don't care. I want to be sick. If I want to be sick and I'm like 5 hours from death, I'm good with that. I want the sensory pleasure of my last cup of whatever it is I've called for.
You know what? I that just gives me chills to hear you say that, because I know in the last days of my father's being with me in the physical, you know, he was asking for, like, I mean, the man had hardly, you know, he had no teeth, okay? And he refused to put his dentures in, like, so, you know, okay, whatever. But, you know, he wanted barbecue from this certain barbecue place that he went, you know, when we were kids. And I'm like,
sure.
Okay, then you're going to have some barbecue. And when I brought it
exactly.
in, the nurse said, oh, you can't have that. That's too spicy. I'm like, look, the man just wants to smell it. He might want to get out of here. Well, we have to call the head nurse. You can call whoever you want. But if that's what he wants, is smoked up barbecue with mild sauce and ribs. Look, the man is going to get some ribs.
Exactly.
And I felt
exactly
throughout. He even wanted, I snuck in, okay, I'm glad I won't say the hospital. I stuck in a Cuban cigar.
Nice.
He and one of his better friends owned a cigar shop. And back in the day when there was segregation, you know, my father was allowed to walk through the front door. And it was like a big deal. And he would always, on those Saturdays, he would take me with him. And this, oh man, this cigarette shop was just, it was just like the coolest with the leather chairs and, you know, cabinets and that kind
lounge.
He and my father would sit and they would talk and they would smoke these Cuban cigars. Well, by the time my father was ready to, you know, not be here with me physically, he wanted a Cuban cigar. And I'm like, Dad, you know, to trade on Cuba and that kind of thing, you know, it's illegal. I can't get that for you. So I'm like, Dad, I hate telling you no. And I'm like, he says, go to this shop, ask for Mr. So-and-so. I won't give out any names, okay? And he'll work it out. Just tell him, you know, my father's name. I won't even say my father's name at this point because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. She said, but just give my name. So I went, I left, I went, I got, went there, and I asked for the person, and I told him who's my father. And he said, no problem. And we walked down a dark hall into, like, this room that was, like, it looked like it was part of the panel. And he slid it back, and he took out a Cuban cigar. He says, take this to your father. This is, I said, and I know how costly they are, right? So I'm like, how much? He says, for your father who's given me so much, the cost is my heart. I went to back to the hospital. I lit it up because that was the thing that he and I had in common, you know, and I lit it up. And of course, and I didn't think about the heart monitor thing, you know, that it was going to go off.
I'm just really glad there was no oxygen in the room. I'm like thinking, oh, crap.
We were cool with that. You know, I got at least that much cognitive going on. So we were cool with that. But I forgot about the heart monitor things that, you know, that would bring the nurses. And long story short, we went through a little battle. But, you know, nonetheless, I was determined that, you know, even if he just smelled it, he just wanted it on his tongue. That was really all I could do. And I'm like, I am going to give him the comfort and love he deserves that he has given me, and which I feel we should be giving our elderly. And to hear that we, in our court system, stops this experience. I mean, what's so hard to see about this? What are we not
doing? I don't know. I think it's not black and white enough. It's too hard to admit. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's a whole dossier on why this is not reasonable, but it's in my lawyer's hands. It's certainly in my kid's hands, and it's updated regularly because things change, you know, but I think you need to have someone that cares enough to know what you need, what you want. And that's about preferences. I mean, so much about quality of life as we hit any kind of chronic disease is person-centered, preference-driven care. And that is not sitting beside my bed with your cell phone in your hand. That's not that.
Thank you very much.
You understand me. And like, if Wheel of Fortune is what rocks my world, you're going to be sure it's on. Right.
There you go.
Of course, I'm an activities director by heart. So, you know, that's sort of what has driven me through all the academic world was I've always been an activities director or nurse's aide in long-term care since like 1974, which is a long time. So, you know, that's what matters.
Well, Kate, you know, you have given several tips that I want you to repeat in terms of your living will, your directives, and how you have made it plain and clear. So these are tips. Number one, Kate, is to do what?
Write down where you prefer to live. And these are not like standard forms. They're lawyer, and the forms that you get from hospice, et cetera, may not have all this in there. But I think it's important that you say, hey, if I need, you know, care at night, if I need care during the day, these are my things that are most important to me. And I imagine there are some forms out there online. I used one and just actually added to what I had with my lawyer's forms. But you want something that really talks about the nuts and bolts, not just am I going to be hooked to a machine, but when I am hooked to the machine, I want to be sure that this is the music I hear, or that if I have to be hooked to a machine, it's more important for me to be home than to be on the machine. So what is the most important thing for you in your final days? And we don't know what they'll be. We don't know how long they'll be, but our family needs to know if we have family.
So that's number
two.
That's number two.
Yeah, and if you don't have family, then I think it would be perfectly reasonable to pick a guardian ahead of time. I don't think anybody ever does that.
Heck no. You've given me an idea. Hello.
Yes.
Dr. Bev has already put it out in the universe in the vibration that, you know, I've got too much to do, too many people to reach. And, you know, here on America Out Loud, thank goodness, I get the opportunity to spread this to millions of people. If so ever that should happen to Dr. Bev, I want X, Y, and Z to take care of me.
Right.
Period. I need to write that down.
And of course, we have here in the state of Florida, we have healthcare surrogates. And actually, since I was in the Caribbean for a while, I've just come back. Since I've been away, they've actually upgraded healthcare surrogacy so that it's a much more dynamic document. So when I just had a real simple procedure, I actually changed from what I had documented for the long range would be one child. I changed to the local child. And that's an example. 5 years ago, I did these directives, and there was no grandbaby in the picture.
Uh-huh.
Now, the daughter that I picked for the healthcare surrogate is really occupied, and I'm pretty sure she might throw me in a place with bingo every day, and I won't be able to honk her because of the grandbaby. But my son, who only has a dog, like, I can have a discussion with him. Is that, look, this is more important to me. I would rather live shorter and take the risk of falling in my own home. God forbid, I just rocked the healthcare world. Fall risk. I would rather do that than you put me in substandard care that I can afford. I would rather have less care and be happier.
You just said it. You just rocked the healthcare world. Welcome to Emotions Are
Up. All my contacts.
America Out Loud. Yes, it was Kate McCarty.
I don't know. I'm going to go alias.
I think, you know what? Oh, not go alias. You know, Oprah should be calling you. You just rock the healthcare world because
I know. Because we're so busy trying to protect me. I'm not allowed to have any fun. What the heck?
Go for it now. You know, like you said, that's number three. You guys, listen up here. If you would rather have more of a quality of life than quantity of days. Listen to Kate now. Healthcare world.
Now's the time to go shopping. If you think you're going to need long-term care, shop now. And you're not. Don't be going for the chandelier, because the chandelier means that you're probably not going to have good programming. They're marketing to your family. They're not providing you with what you need to look for your care. They're designed for family. They're not designed for care, usually. There are, of course, exceptions. I try to work with the exception. But usually when you're wowed, the family's like, oh, but it's so beautiful. Yes, and can you see whether your father would, like, crawl into that fountain? Or if they don't have enough staff, maybe he could shower in the fountain. I mean, there's a perfect example that there's apparently beautiful, like, rock walls with water running down them. But if you need memory care, you're on another floor with an elevator that's your exit that you rarely get to use. So that rock wall means nothing to you.
You're right, because when you walk into these 65 and older communities where, you know, you can pay less money or buy into a condo for less, whatever. I look at them and they're like just rows and rows and rows of just rooms, or, you know, maybe an apartment, but it's just like a breezeway of just, it reminds me of working in the prisons, like a cell block or something, you know, like, seriously? Oh, no, I'm with you. Look, I'd rather live shorter and be able to go to the bathroom by myself.
Right.
And like you said, to be in those places where now I know if they got the bright chandeliers and the waterfalls, that's tip number four, family. You better listen.
Exactly.
You better hear.
Exactly.
You need to hear this.
Exactly, because that's not going to take care of your loved one. And it's, oh, mama would love it here. Well, she might enjoy walking by it once, but that'll probably be the last point of contact she'll have with that fountain or that chandelier. And then, of course, when you buy into the bigger ones, it's the memory care. That's like the final sort of stopping spot. And they'll put the least money there because they're so busy trying to bring in the independent living dollar that they don't put it into the memory care.
Wait. Hold up. Explain that to me again like I'm a three-year-old.
Oh, sorry. No. Continuing care retirement communities will often put all the money into the entry point, because often there's a fee to buy in. So they wow you at the independent living, the 55 plus spots. That's where they're spending most of their interior design and their dollar is there. But then as you need skilled nursing, even sometimes assisted living, or most definitely memory care, the dollar is shrinking. They didn't spend a lot on the architecture. They didn't spend a lot on the research design, because it's all about that entry. It's all about getting you in. And then you won't necessarily be guaranteed a spot on memory care, because the time that you need it may not be the time that it's available. So there's a lot to piece through. But it looks really good. Like, you know, I see a golf course and I see a clubhouse and a pool and I'm like, wow, I could do this. But then, you know, if my husband ends up needing memory care, I get up to that unit and it's like, oh, it's like a prison. Oh, there's nothing going on up here. Does he get to use the pool? Oh, yeah. So we're not careful buyers. First of all, we always wait until there's crisis, because no one wants to believe that they're going to get old or die.
Yes, that's so true.
I had a geriatric care manager crying to me recently because there was a 100-year-old man that I had been asked for advice, and I said, you need to move him into a skilled memory care because of XYZ, needing more medical presence. She said, but what if he dies? And I said, you know what? Sooner than later, that man is going to die. Please let him do it without, like, rotting in a chair.
Kate,
please get him away from the loud TV, because this was another example where there was just a blaring TV. And for the last, I don't know how many years, he's been sitting in the same recliner with a blaring TV. I'm like, please get him where there's, like, qualified dementia-specific activities, where there'd be a nurse watching those wounds that you're, like, developing.
Okay, well, let's go to Kate's world, because I like her world a whole lot better. People, I think that's about tip number six right there. Okay? Is, you know, please listen to this. Don't go for the glim and the glam. Look for that personal care. Look for those individuals and caregivers who are going to be memory engaging for your mother or father, sister or brother, whoever it may be. You know, take quality over quantity any day. I don't think it's crass for you to say, you know, look, the man's going to die anyway. Let him die having some fun instead of sitting in that dirty chair. I mean, shut the front door. Okay.
I mean, here's a geriatric care manager that doesn't get how people die. I mean, that's kind of amazing, right? There's a person that needs therapy right there.
Well, you know, I'm a therapist who believe in therapists. You know, you can get me on America Out Loud. Please, you know, tune in. You can call me, Skype me. I am willing and able and ready to give you some mental health. You can call it coaching if you want to. I don't care. But you need some help. And now I'm seeing another area, you know, as we were talking, that I want to do something about this. Like, you mean a staff person? What? If that's just plain old-fashioned common sense to me, would you want to be sitting in that? I mean, I'd ask that to them. Would you want to be sitting in a chair every day, all day, the same number of hours, looking at the same station? Are you serious?
Right. Exactly. And but again, I think you said something much earlier in the program. And this goes back to some of the training I've had in validation therapy, which is unique to dementia care. A woman named Naomi File, I use it a lot in my trainings. And it is, if you don't resolve your issues, you will bring them right to your job. And this is a care manager that has issues that obviously are unresolved, not complete with the idea that there are going to be final days. What a terrible occupation to be in. It's, you know, because she's confronted all the time with some sort of incomplete grief experience from her past that is really clouding her judgment to the point where she's afraid if I move him, he'll die. Wow.
And I,
that's what we find with caregivers. I mean, the poor, they come off the streets. They're getting probably just the worst pay ever. And I'm asking them to go beyond, to put themselves outside the door and meet that person with Alzheimer's right where they are. Do not argue. Do not meet them in their world. We're training them how to do improvisation. Yes, and you want to go home. Yes, and let's see, what did that home look like? You know, how to reminisce. So we're putting like PhD ideas that we expect a person that's making, I don't know, less than the person at Costco makes, which is
really
a lot. It's a big hump. But, you know, if we had more of those people and not less, that would be easier for them to do. But, you know, staffing ratio is so important, and rarely does anybody think of that when they're shopping. Well, how many, what's the staffing ratio? But ideally, wouldn't it be great to have that in your home? And that's why I do training with home health, is that let's figure out a world. Other countries are doing it. We see the amount of money that's going out of pocket alone for dementia care. Let's see how we could do this in our communities. You know, we have dementia-friendly villages in the Netherlands.
And in the Netherlands, you know, and we are already spending over $600 billion, hear me people, billion dollars on dementia, but yet the people who are actually the caregivers giving the care, they're making a salary like at McDonald's, and you expect
them
to go above and beyond. Wow. That's
I know.
That's
it's
kind
pretty
of it's really fragmented for me. I mean, that is not something that one would expect. But then again, you know, we won't go into it right now because that would be taking a soft task. But I look at what we pay our teachers, what we pay our frontline people, what we pay the people, you know, who go to war for us. When we look at that kind of status, it's always quantity over quality.
Yes.
And that's a sad state here in America.
Yeah.
And America Out Loud, we're here to do something about it. This is our network.
Yeah.
We can push it through. Kate has something going on. She's going to have all her information on her webpage there on our site. And she'll have some of these directives down. She'll have some of what she does and your books as well. Because people need to know. You mean, I say, you know, Kate, let's just shut the front door and go ahead and rock the health system up because it needs to be. You know, like you said, sooner or later, I will get there, whether I want to or not. I'll be kicking and screaming, but then I, excuse me, you know, shut the front door there. I don't want to, I don't want to be told, oh no, you have to sit here and do this and do that. Oh no, I didn't live my life that way. That's not my quality of life.
And of course, that's the baby boomers. I mean, and there's fear, but I don't see a lot of action. Like I hear the senior marketing, you know, the big ones that are overlooking the forest saying, oh, we got to get ready. But I don't see any getting ready. I don't see a lot of change. And I still see bingo. And I don't know about you, but bingo to me is something I had to do for the kids when they were in Catholic school. It's certainly not something I would choose to do.
Hello. Hello.
I mean, my favorite activity in my 40s was rollerblading, so watch out.
And I'm the one that will go to one of those facilities and would want to take a swim in that big fountain. I've done it. I call, you know, really adventurous and experienced. Other people might think that they're inappropriate, and some have even told me so. But nonetheless, you know, I still, you know... I'm Dr. Bev. I did it. It's my world. It's my self-care. That's what's mainly important to me. And now I'm hearing from the expert, Kate McCarty, that I'm doing the right thing. Let me keep being a little bit cray-cray, not just crazy.
Exactly.
Okay? And let me keep up with my mental health. I'm going to give some tips at the end, you know, and they are those. Let me just give them to you now. And you know, why not wait to the end? I'm not, this dementia thing feels like too much like the end. So let me just put it in here now. And number one, I'm going to say it again. Get you some MH, mental health. Call it coaching, call it anything. Because like you gave the example of the young lady who was a caregiver who hadn't quite taken care of her desk issues and was bringing them to work. Well, let's flip to the other side of that and let me be the devil's advocate here. And if you're the person that's growing older, you know, becoming that, look, wait, like Kate said, 10 years before, you need to start thinking about
plan.
It. People talk about it, but they don't plan. They don't do any planning. They don't pick up the phone and go, Dr. Bev, I really want to be a better person. I'm now ready for counseling. The day that I get that call, I think I'll fall over in my chair. Because really, that's look, people, stop being afraid of it. That's all it is. You want to be a better person. You want to resolve those issues that you had in childhood, adulthood, whenever, whatever baggage you're carrying. Look, we're human. We all have it. You know, let's just do the darn thing. You know, okay? Just do it. Just pick up the phone call and do it. Next, exercise. Movement. Mm-hmm. Movement is really important. Okay, that is really, really important. I have a counseling session tomorrow. Guess where it's going to be?
In a gym.
In a catamaran. No. In a catamaran.
Oh, nice.
In the water. Okay, this lady is older and she's older than me. So like I know the 65 thing is out of range because she's older than that. And she's like, Dr. Bev, you know, I haven't been out on the catamaran in a long time. I said, yeah, you're right. We haven't done that in a while. Let's do that for our session. Okay, fine. I'm there as long as
I'm wonderful. There.
So that is what I see. Again, that's another tip. Keep active. Keep adventurous, doing things. Get your mind active. Stay up with social media and computers and all like that. I've got a friend, Doc, who was on the show not too long ago. He owns the Computer Society of Tampa, and that's what he caters to, you know, to those the people who are over 50, you know, 40. Anybody can come, of course, but in particular, keeping those people engaged with what's going on in the world and how they can technically do it themselves. It's just amazing to just see, you know, him give a class and people are doing things that are like, wow, Wow. You know, making their own picture photo albums, doing their own radio shows, doing this, doing that, going to, you know, YouTube and making videos. I'm like, this is so sweet. So people, this is another instance, again, another tip on what you can do. And most of all, Kate, what I'm hearing is the failure to plan and live your life.
Yes. I mean, now's the time to go to an elder care lawyer and find out what you're going to, what papers are needed, what planning is needed, the long range. Now's the time. Don't wait. Because I can guarantee you, your kids or the guardian, it's not going to do, they're not going to do it like you would do it. Now is the time.
Now.
Because we are a generation that wants control. An example, I do memory engagement, and I'm training some home health to be engagement aides so that when they go in, they're not on their cell phone, they're actually changing it up. Like in a 2-hour session, we had at least 10 different activities because I'm watching the person start drifting because there's about a 20-minute attention span, and then we try something new. Anyway, so one of the activities, it's very, even Walmart, at all the little stands, you'll see this adult coloring phase.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yes. Well, you know what? I don't like staying in the lines. So I have tried this with my clients, and I find it extremely annoying. And what we're doing instead is we're doing watercolor pencils, because if you need the precision of a pencil, fine. But I'm dipping mine in water because I like to be a little free with things. And I think that pretty much explains the trailing edge of the baby boomer, which, by the way, we are the trailing edge. We don't like being in the lines.
You know, Kate, I am trying to hold back my laughter. My laughter, folks out there listening to me, it is not a judgment. It's just total humor to me that this regular common sense kind of thing is like what you're doing, Kate, is so cool. And it's just like, you know, I automatically thought that that would happen. I know people who are really into the coloring books, and like those are the new,
yes.
They even have adult coloring books, people. Okay. So
that's what it is. That's what we're doing. My kids used to make fun of me because they thought it meant it was porno. Years ago, I was online looking for, you know, adult coloring books. Mom, you know, like, I don't mean that kind, although there may be out there. I don't know. And if you want those, put that in your plan.
Kate, I'm with you. I'm on the other side of the fence. I was always one of the kids that could never stay in the line. Okay?
Exactly.
Coloring in the line is like so boring for me. It's like
boring.
Let's add this and do that and do this. And so I can see where watercoloring, I think that's one of the things I'm going to start to take up right now, watercoloring. They have it at the Dolly sometimes, so I think that I may. And watercoloring,
yeah.
Because I never did like to stay in the lines, and you just gave me a fantastic idea. And what you're teaching these home care health aides is stupendous.
So it's so much fun too. I mean, this is a lady that was not waking up, and now she's so funny. At about 10 minutes before we leave, she shuts her eyes and acts like she's not listening. So I always train people to leave a passive activity because we have always at the tray table. And these are assisted living resident, this particular one. So it's something that's right in front of her chair. So last week we set up card sorting, you know, a deck of cards. And as we turned around, sure enough, we caught her doing it. Yesterday, it was a 24-piece puzzle. And as we turned around, sure enough, she was awake, and so we caught her doing it. So it's like that old, remember that movie, Kevin Costner, Build It, They Will Come?
Build It, They Will Come,
that is
yes.
What's happening. I mean, these people are so used to just sitting, doing nothing, that they're like, when she sees us coming, she lights up. It's like, we're the party girls. The party girls are coming.
Oh, that's so much fun. That is so fun. Even now in my practice, there's a website, people. It's called Jig Zone. Jig Zone, I'm putting you out there, okay? JigZone.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can do computer puzzles on the computer.
Nice.
Okay, and it starts off with a 6-piece puzzle. It goes up to 193, and they change shapes. You can have bird shapes. You can have polygons. You can have circles.
Right.
so much keeps the brain moving. And I even use it with children, because sometimes even our children don't get enough cognition, enough work on the brain. And I call it my train your brain program, you know, training your brain so that, you know, in your midlife, in your, that mid part of your life, you're adventurous, you're doing things because you know you can. You just put together a 53 piece puzzle made out of, you know, shapes of lizards. Okay.
Right.
I mean, go for it. Okay. If that turns you on, let's make it work, because it keeps your brain working. Again, another tip there. I am loving having you on the show. We've got to do this again.
Oh yes, please. I'd love to. It's a lot of fun.
I want to tell my audience, please go to, you can go to our site. I told you earlier, just take that little mouse, go to America Out Loud. You can find me under podcast, okay, if you want to listen to the show that way. And just do the drop down, okay? You know, as Kate said, look, use your skills. Technology is one of them. Use that brain. So drop it down. You'll see Emotions Are Us, Dr. Bev. You can click on it. You can listen there. You can also, and all of my topics will be on that page. I mean, everything that I've done, it will be on that page. So you got a lot to read there. Please check us out on Flipboard. Now, on Flipboard, I want you to move your mouse over, okay, when you're on the top side, up top of the site, move it over and you'll see Flipboard. On Flipboard, we have a thing called emotional baggage removal. I said it, emotional baggage removal. Now, Kate, you might want to go on there, because you got a lot of things to tell the healthcare, okay? This is what America needs. This is what they need to know. This is what the show is all about. Saying what's hidden up under the rugs, bringing the elephants out into the room. Please, let's eat them a chunk at a time. Fear, fear, I mean, it says it everywhere. Do not fear this. You know, like, it is inevitable that what you are teaching and what you are training, if other countries are doing it, and Kate McCarty is the only one doing it over here, look, I want everybody to know. So go to Flipboard, okay? Emotional baggage removal. Check us out. You can see us, the magazine. There is, go use it. Go see the magazine that we have, where we talk about a whole host of topics that most people, and like you said, in that general vicinity of judges and this and, you know, all the, you know, I call them, you know, the mechanical people, you know, like march to a certain, they all march to the certain drum. You know, don't listen to that anymore. Go to our magazine, okay? Turn on America Out Loud. You know, you can hear it on any talk radio station. You can hear it on iHeart. You can hear it on iTunes. You can even, look. We even have an app, so you can listen to Dr. Bev holla on our programs, okay? Check us out. I want you to know that. And then above all, my last tip for today here is from a therapeutic standpoint, and that is work on that stuff that you have in Storyville that you call the past. Work on it therapeutically. Get some counseling for that. So you don't bring it into Presentville, where we're living now, where you're in the now. And please, let's plan for Futureville, but let's not live there. We can plan for it. As Kate says, that's really important. Plan for it. However, keep yourself engaged in the here and now and go rollerblading with Kate, okay? Kate, thank you so much. This has been Dr. Bev. Emotions Are Us. Holla, listen at us. We'll be right back next week.